It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been.
Welcome to another night of pregame talk here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. This is the pregame show of the Tony Sands Show live at St. Thomas Aquinas High School here in Fort Lauderdale as St. Thomas take on matter. Again, joining me on the show is my main man, Wayne Blair, giving you the insights on football. He is the expert, being that this could possibly be a defensive game. I decided to go with a defensive type of guy to join me on my show. My normal co-host guest is up in Gainesville. He's checking out the University of Florida for me. So joining me on the show is Wayne Blair. If you want to chime in on the show, you want to call in to speak with myself or Coach Blair, you can call us at 888-429-5471. This show is being brought to you today by Tilt to Kilt in Fort Lauderdale on the corner of Las Olas and Andrews Avenue. That's right, I said Las Olas and Andrews Avenue. Tilt to Kilt, you can go to tilttokilt.com. I said it, tilttokilt.com here on the Tony Sands Show. But Wayne, let's get into St. Thomas Matter Academy matchup. And I'm going to tell you, you know, as we are sitting here, we're setting up and we're getting ready for the show. But because Rocco came kind of late, he didn't come in here early. And I'm wondering, was that set up by chance or Trip was late, things were late, and he had to wait a little bit before he gets started? If you was a D, now, here you are, you're coming in and you had an opportunity, as you said, you came in and faced a St. Thomas Aquinas team. Did you bring your team over early or did you wait till the last seconds before you came over?
Different strokes, different folks. I'm going to say, you know, Rocco is at a charter school, so, you know, I'm pretty sure the athletic director is on time with any and everything that they do. So I'm going to say it was a little bit more gauged towards maybe planning. Because look at those buses over there. You know, that's Matter Academy right there. I guess that's not the yellow cheese like we are used to seeing. Sam.
No, but when you Matter in its states just that Matter Academy, it follows along the lines of what we would consider a private school type of organization. So they tend to have a little bit more funding than the public school. But let's dig a little bit into when we look at this matchup. When I look at this matchup, I'm possibly going to look at possibly, you know, you're looking at Rocco, who's a defensive-minded guy. I'm looking at Rocco defense up against St. Thomas Aquinas offense. I think this is going to be that type of matchup when I look at this game. I don't see any other way of St. Thomas and Matter Academy matching up.
Hey, here I go on this one, Sans. Check this out. Rocco worked with me during our earlier premium years over here at St. Thomas Aquinas back at the JV, and then we both, you know, worked simultaneously with the varsity as well. And, you know, he's a precise coach. You know, yes. He definitely pays attention to down and distance and, you know, looks at tendencies and different things that, you know, offensive coordinator here at St. Thomas can basically bring. So with that being said, I'm going to say that, you know, his skilled guys are going to be in tune and they're going to play some good coverages, probably some combo coverages.
But, you know, as I got a chance to look at Matter Academy, I scouted them as they they're in warm-up at this point in time. They look kind of small up front. So with them having a small team up front, does that give the advantage to St. Thomas with a bigger offensive line versus a quicker defensive line? Or do these quicker guys have the opportunity to get in and slant, as you stated last night, and do slants
and
get the advantage?
You know, I had to do my homework last night. Got to watch a little bit of Matter of film, and, you know, I seen a lot of different stunts with that defensive line, considering they are smaller guys. So, you know, you have your twist stunts, you have your tech stunts with those guys in the end and the tackle basically switching up and switching gap responsibility. So I think that might be something that they definitely have to do in order to, you know, make this a game.
I mean, like you said, make it a game. As you can see, St. Thomas at this point is starting to play. Their special team guys are mainly starting to go on the field. What I mean by special teams is the kickers and
all the specialists.
Specialist guys are going out at this time, and the bigger guys tend to stay in the locker room. And I don't know if the coaches do that by chance and say, you know what, I'm not going to let the bigger guys come out. I'm going to let that be an intimidating factor. I was involved in an intimidating factor here at St. Thomas. That's why I always check out to see what time a team get here, because Dillard did that to us one time to where they came later. Dillard pulled up. We had at that time games were at 8 o'clock.
Yes.
Dillard pulled up at exactly 7:55, running off the bus in the stands. And it was an intimidating factor. Yeah, because they were big. And all of a sudden, now you get Dillard, and all of a sudden, here go the big hurrah. And it kind of, you know.
A little shook.
Yeah. It shook him a great deal. Not a little bit, but it shook him a great deal. So I can see why one would want to use that intimidating factor of coming in here late, because you don't want your kids to come in here and get wowed by the trophy room. Hey, by if you walk down this hallway, right, they start looking at all the guys that are in the pros and how many guys this program has put in the pros. But then you walk past that trophy room and you see all the glitz and glamour of championships that have been won here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. Hey, so that's an intimidating factor.
My own personal technique was probably be the guy that, you know, like when we came here, I parked the bus at my mother's house. I had them walk over.
But I mean, everybody don't get that luxury. Everybody, mom, don't stay right next door to St. Thomas. Your mom has. But how did you park the big yellow cheese bus right in front of your mom?
So right in front of my mom's.
You made sure, mom, you can't go to the store. You can't go out because the big yellow cheese gonna take up the whole front of the your.
Hey.
But it was you guys only came over with one bus. That's all you guys need?
We came over with one bus. Everything else was, you know, cheerleader
mean to tell me you guys wasn't taking any. If you wouldn't have no importance involved in this game, then that means you wouldn't.
It was a tight 69 guys. 69.
How many are they allowed to travel with during playoffs?
65. Your roster has to be at 65. So we had four coaches and
everybody fit on the yellow cheese?
On the cheese, man.
Wow.
Got off the cheese right there off 29th, walked up, came in through the back, went straight to warm-ups, probably about, I want to say about 30 minutes before kickoff.
Now, when we talk about the yellow cheese, we're talking about the big yellow school buses, you know, the big yellow school. But we're going to go to a quick commercial break here. We're going to play possibly some Jay-Z, we're going to play some Jay-Z here in the building. We're going to a four-minute commercial break here on Tony Sands. This show is brought to you today by Tilt to Kilt in Fort Lauderdale, Los Angeles, and Andrews Avenue. Go in there and get your, I always order, the boneless hot wings, because that is my favorite. Makes my mouth water. We're going to a commercial break. We're coming back here on the Tony Sands Show live at St. Thomas in this pre-game show. But as a matter of fact, you know, play my boy, Flo Rida, because that's my dude.
Flo Rida.
We're going to go with the Flo Rida. Welcome to my house, because I guess he is welcoming Matter Academy to his house.
His house.
That is his house. So we'll go with that. We're going to go with Flo Rida. Welcome to my house.
Yes.
Open up the champagne. Pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been.
We're back here live on the Tony Sands Show. Listen, this place is getting packed here. We are in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, with the matchup of Matter Academy and St. Thomas Aquinas.
Hey, Tony, let me ask you this. Did you see those coaches, you know, the coaches starting to roll in?
College coaches are starting to come into this place, because this is, you know, when you look at St. Thomas and you look at recruiting and you look at everything that's involved in that, this is a place to be. College season is winding down.
Backyard special.
They was able to still hold on to their win. Mm-hmm. So now you get a chance, you got to get on the road. Now you got to get the jump on other coaches. So you're going to see a lot of college coaches that will be rolling into this place. But we're live here at St. Thomas Aquinas. Pre-game show of a matchup that really I called that. matchup, but a matchup pretty much like what I want to call it. I called it Ronda Rousey at first, but then I had to go back and change that because it's not a Ronda Rousey matchup at all. It's a Money Mayweather.
It's a Money Mayweather.
Because you know it's going to be a fight, but you ultimately know what the outcome will be when it comes to this game.
Wow.
You know what the outcome is going to be. You and I both know.
A precursor.
I'm just saying, and Rocco is my guy, and I love him to death, but ultimately, in this game of football, we must understand matchups and situations has a great deal to do with the way games come out. And when you look at this matchup, yes, Rocco is 12-0, 12-1. He's 12-1, and like I say, the road people that he took to get to this point, he beat Nova, which is a well-improved Nova team. Everybody must understand, this is a well-improved Nova team, which he beat them 35-34. At that point, he went on to face Sunset, who he lost to earlier in the year.
Correct.
He comes back and beats Sunset 42-19. And I'm still trying to figure out how lopsided that matchup was when you, at one point, you beat Sunset, and all of a sudden you come back and you beat Sunset 49-12. It tends to not happen that way, but we've also seen that same thing happen against American Heritage, who beat Hollandale.
Correct.
Pretty badly, but then came back to lose Hollandale in that matchup. Let's look at, when I want to let our listeners know how St. Thomas arrived at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went through Royal Palm which Beach. They beat them 29-0.
Mm-hmm.
Then they went on to face a Dwyer team, which they beat Dwyer 24-7. So when we look at those two matchups, St. Thomas is outscoring their opponents 53-7.
That's a lopsided sum right there.
Now, when we look at this, do we say come next week, we look at this match, St. Thomas, how they got here, and all of a sudden now, does that increase to St. Thomas? Do we say, okay, St. Thomas is beating everybody in the playoffs, you know, possibly 70-something to 14-21? Because now this could be a ground and pound. I'm quite sure.
Hey, this is the time of year when you know, you
this is a ground and pound. Now,
you go to your stable, you play off your play action game, and you go to your bell cows.
Everybody's going to get opportunity to see Jackson Kincaid go over 1,000 yards because he only needs 2 yards. He's at 998 yards on the season to go over 1,000 yards in a season.
It's a rarity. It's a rarity here at St. Thomas, considering that, you know, throughout the years, you know, you got maybe 2 to 3 different guys. Some years you'll have a fullback even that, you know, like James White was a fullback.
That's a fullback. You know? And a lot of people don't realize, you know, when you speak about James White, you talk about two guys, James White and Giovanni Bernard, that was in the same backfield.
Correct.
And both guys now, where is that? You see two guys have played in the same backfield now, both guys are playing in the NFL.
Yes.
And having good success in the NFL. You got to figure James White could possibly be seeing a nice piece of
jewelry
on the fence. So that means what is that? Give him two.
That'll be two, man.
That'll be two if New England continues to win, which I'm not a New England fan, people, but I've been getting killed on my Twitter. Not only that, I'm getting killed in my household, bro. I'm getting killed in my household. My wife is sending me, and she's blasting me. It ain't like she's blasting me in-house. She's blasting me all on Facebook, bro.
Yeah.
When I say blast me, if anyone go to my Facebook page, getsensational.com, you can see my Facebook page, and you can see some of the stuff that my wife is sending.
Wow.
Look. This is what I'm getting.
A Subway commercial with oh man,
with Romo, and look at America's team. Ha ha ha. Fresh like you in the 80s, like the you in the 80s. Y'all want to be back so bad. I mean, this is the kind of stuff I'm getting. This is what I'm getting jugged with by the wife.
I got a niece that.
Because I love the Cowboys. I'm going to tell you now, I am a big Cowboy fan, Wayne. I am just that, a big Cowboy fan in of itself. I love the Cowboys.
The star, man.
Get into also now. We talk about Cowboys. UM is last game.
Yes, they played Pittsburgh today, right?
They beat Pittsburgh. Well, you know, they had a good lead at one point on Pittsburgh, but then Pittsburgh was able to come back, and, you know, Miami was able to hold on to get that win. But now the names should start popping up even more on the possibility who may become the next University of Miami coach. I didn't get an opportunity to ask you that. I've been asking everybody that come on my show, give me your opinion on who you would like to see.
Again,
let's not go political now. You're on my show here. I don't want to hear the political answer, because I know
there's no politics here when I answer and give a timely response at that, Mr.
Please
Sands.
Do. Don't, let's not go politics here.
I'm going to go ahead and state the obvious, which would be hopefully Mario Cristobal. He's been there at FIU before, worked under Nick Saban now for the past 2 years, learning. And not to say, you know what I'm saying, he did wonders over there at FIU at the time that he had while he was there. But sometimes, you know, you have to move on in order to be able to blossom and start out, you know, probably like a phoenix and get something new. So I'm going to say, you know, off of recruiting, understanding the landscape, especially with all the possibilities of setbacks that, you know, UM has on its campus without a big stadium. I'm going to say he's the type of guy that could definitely, you know, get in here, get that class back where, you know, they were in the top 10 under, you know, the rivals and all those different rankings, and get them back in there and, you know, assure the UM class for the upcoming year will be, you know, standing high up in that top 10.
And now, do we throw another name in the hat? Because really, technically, I'm going to read you a statement from Football Scoop.
Okay.
Les Miles is in an indirect but clear manner indicated to Tiger Gridiron Club tomorrow's game with Texas A&M will indeed be his last at LSU. Does Les Miles' name start to twinkle up, starting to sprout up, take wings, what you call it, in this matchup on who could possibly be the next University of Miami head coach?
Well, I don't think Les Miles, considering that, you know, he's been in Baton Rouge for, what, 11 years now, hasn't lost more than 4 games within a season, really. I don't think he'd end up coming here. I think, you know, considering that he's a Michigan guy where he played way back in the day, went on to Oklahoma State, you know, became a head coach there. I could, you know, talk about his lineage. But I think he might go to probably – he might end up being one of those guys that goes into the Big Ten, you know, a Minnesota or a Maryland.
Not only him, Charlie Strong. Does his name come back up in the picture?
I'm telling you with this one, Sands. Charlie's making 6.5 right now.
I understand he's making 6.5.
And then his buyout is somewhere of probably less miles proportions.
Listen, but when you're talking about Texas, buyouts don't mean anything to the people in Texas. Buyouts don't mean anything. They have the money.
It is one of the most richest freestanding schools out there in the country.
$98 million clear. After everything is paid out, they clears $98 million a year ago.
That's a lot.
And so now, to say that you don't want to get a buyout or that you can't get a buyout, I find that to be kind of, you know, hey, you're talking about Texas. You're talking about, hey, the closest thing, next thing to God in Texas is football. So you're telling me I would see them more than I would see LSU.
Again, though, Sands, talking about year two of this guy's contract. Year two.
Texas is not going to give him that long, bro. They're not. Listen, you got to understand, there were some boosters that didn't even want Charlie Strong.
You are correct.
So now for him not to put together what they thought. And then they're on him a lot because Charlie Strong wants to come to Florida. He wants to recruit in Florida. And they're kind of handcuffing him because he understands that his success, where he's been at the Florida, at Louisville, depended a great deal on
Florida guys,
Florida athletes. So for him not to want to go back to Florida, Texas guys are saying, "Don't, you don't have to go to Texas. We have him right here in Texas. So we don't need you to go outside to get athletes to come in here, we have them right here. And I think that is a thing that Charlie Strong is dealing with a great deal, because he understands that my type of guys are in Florida. Mm-hmm. My type of guys are in the Florida, you know, belt. But now, like you said, right now, okay, you have how many games? Texas have one more game left.
Yeah.
They got BYU. I mean, Baylor. Got Baylor. They play Baylor. So now they could possibly go down two, the last two. They could lose.
Yeah, they didn't
fare well against Texas Tech.
That definitely would stack the chips.
So now, goes back to my question I asked you. Is he truly safe at Texas? Is he truly safe at Texas? He can't be truly safe at Texas. He cannot be truly safe at the University of Texas. You lose to Texas Tech, and now you're possibly going to get killed by Baylor?
Another in-state opponent.
So you can't beat Texas Tech, who you lose to.
But again, hey,
48-45.
If Oklahoma runs the table and they still have that L on there from Texas, it's going to hold strong.
I don't think it's going to hold water when you're losing to Texas Tech 48-45, and then you come in and depending on what the score is in the Baylor game.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what the score is in this Baylor game, on can you survive? Can you survive? And I'm quite sure either they're going to want him to make some coaching changes.
Which that's probably going to be the most
deal. But he's clearly stating that he's not going to make any decisions until the final game of the season.
Correct.
Some coaches don't like to make coaching changes during the season. But in the midst of all that, some coaches have to wind up letting go very close friends.
Hey, so goes the business, man. It's tough sometimes.
I clearly understand, but now, does that still, I tell people, I think Charlie Strong is that dark horse still in this University of Miami thing. I still say Miami can splash some people with that. We're thinking Butch Davis, we're thinking Greg Schiano, we're thinking Mario Cristobal, we're thinking Chud, we're thinking all these names.
Roger Zinsky.
But now they could be in the back door negotiating possibly with a Charlie Strong. With a Charlie Strong in the mix, and it possibly could be Charlie Strong that might be that dark horse in all this.
It's a possibility, man. Again, a lot of things could happen within the next week and a half.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things. We're coming up on, you got to figure, this time next week we'll be, what is it, 48 hours from Black Monday?
Yeah.
And Black Monday, folks, is considered that day in college football where a lot of changes, that's when the firing tends to start. But now, they've starting to fire guys early. They don't care when.
So everybody could get themselves into the pool of potential candidates, whether it be some coordinators out there for hot universities or guys that are, you know, probably at a higher job, i.e. your Les Miles.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Like I said, not on that, but you got to be on the ready for recruiting. You got to get on the jump with recruiting, because recruiting is a great part of
it is
college football.
It is building those relationships and having guys that, exactly, you know, can definitely get into the door of some of these high schools and, you know, be able to, you know, I almost call it a courting process.
But that's what I'm saying. So now when we look at it and we say, okay, hey, I got to be able to get the jump on it. So that's why I'm saying, I don't know if Texas not telling, and I know they want to make sure that they're doing the right thing by their organization by not stating if they're going to release Charlie Strong early or not. Mm-hmm. But I think at this point in the game, this late in the game, does that hurt a Charlie Strong if it's a late one? And I know he would get a job come the next day. But I still say I think there's been some talk. He said it hasn't, but I think there's been some talk still between him and the University of Miami. He's never came out right, Wayne, and said that he would not take that job. He never came out and said that he wouldn't take it. Only thing he stated is that right now, Texas is the job that I have at hand. I'm not stating anything, but I got to make sure that we're focused on the job at hand, and that job is Texas. That job is Texas.
And the Baylor game.
And exactly. That job is Texas. The show today, guys, is brought to you by Tilt the Kilt. You can go to tilttokilt.com.
And that's as you them can boys.
Hear, the boys are rounding up in the tunnel here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. They are getting fired up. Normally in this, Roger normally keeps them behind the cage, and they get real rowdy. It may give you that gorilla.
Hey, they are.
They're in the cage. They're in the cage. They're getting ready to come out. You can see that gold on the top of their helmets right now. Roger's normally in the front of that, and then he opens those doors slowly, and they come out walking side by side, holding hands, meaning unity amongst the guys. That means unity amongst those guys.
Yes.
So when you when you look at that, and you look at, we're getting a chance to see Matter and Kevin. Now, you know, at certain positions now, Matter look like they have some big fellas too now. When you look down there, and we look at
they got a little girth, a little something. That definitely offensive line wise. But like I said, I did see the film, and the guys are of smaller stature on that defensive line. And that's the battle, that O line D line battle.
But does that hurt him coming in? I guess you got to do it what you got. You got to deal the cards that are played with you. He understands that he has a smaller defense line. You can see right now they're being led out by Coach Harriet. That's Coach Wayne Blair blasting out to the Raiders as they're walking out hand in hand. The big fellas are leading them out. And I tend to look at that when you let the big gorillas, that tend to be an intimidating factor on another team. And then when St. Thomas come out with so many numbers,
yes,
that makes it even more intimidating because you say, God, man, they got over 100 guys on their unit. They got over 100 guys
power,
on their unit.
Power in numbers, man. Power
great
in numbers.
Number, power in numbers. But Wayne, let's look at, like I told you.
Hey, tell them about the tail of the tape. The tail of the tape. The particulars.
Let's get into that. Let's get into the particulars of the key matchups in this game. I see when I look at this game and I look at offense against defense, because I still say a St. Thomas offense against Coach Rocco at Matter Academy's defense. When I look at that, I'm looking at what's potentially on the outsides. Can they, meaning Matter Academy, can they withstand not only inside, but can they withstand? Are their DBs able to handle the speed and the bigness that St. Thomas has on their outside?
Again, I think Rocco's going to have to disguise some things, you know, playing some off man, playing some cover three, some cover two, not loosening coverage, you know, because they're going to definitely need, you know, those safeties inside the running game for, you know,
and that's,
what St. Thomas
and
has.
That's clearly what we're stating is that with them on the outside, you got Grimes, you got Thielman, you have Irving, you have these big guys on the outside. Mm-hmm. Do they have the big enough DBs? Because you got to figure, when you look at DBs that are over 6 foot, 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", 200 and something pounds, that becomes a jump ball to anybody that's a DB to where you're only 5'9". That's jump ball. That's easy. That's catch and pitch. That's like throwing it, and I know my guy's going to go up and get
Grimes
it.
Grimes is a six-foot-plus guy, and he's a hurdler.
Yeah, so you know he has the ability to go up and get the football.
Talent. Freakish talent right there. Irvin's a bigger body, 6'2-plus, 200-plus pounds. You know, again, I looked at the film, and their defensive backs are, you know, smaller, 5'9", 5'10 guys. You know, you might have a six-footer back there at safety, but, you know, the stature, the size.
But now, you're saying stature and
big
you're
target.
Saying size. You as an OC, do you say, okay, listen, we're going to come in one way. We're going to come in with intent to ground and pound you. But we also, once we see you coming up,
got to keep you honest.
Now we're going to go over the top.
Got to keep you honest.
And can Duraco have a – with that, when you're playing, if you're a defensive guy, you got those guys, three guys on the outside. You got three big guys on the outside that can score at any point in time. What are you telling your secondary? What type of secondary do you tend to set up to play?
I play more loose coverages. I'd basically disguise my man and my zone. So you'd see me play my cover three, but it would look like it was press.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, we'd basically, you know, bail the safety, my free safety over the top, to the two receiver side, and then I definitely masquerade things, probably be bringing linebackers off the edge, you know, trying to catch their tackles, or if the running back is not going to help out inside the blocking game.
Now, you in first series. Here goes the first series. Strip me this game, your first five plays as a defensive guy. Now, you're getting ready to face St. Thomas.
What's your first five coverages? You can't have me giving away stuff on the air, man.
I'm just trying to get an understanding, clear understanding. What do you do facing a St. Thomas Aquinas? The first five plays that you script for, if you're Matter Academy now, understand, mm-hmm. put yourself in the mindset of Matter Academy after watching them on film, after seeing that they are small up front and they have small DBs. What do you do?
If I'm doing that and I'm Matter Academy, what I'm doing is Jake Allen is fresh off of
a back injury.
Mm-hmm. I'm bringing heat. I'm definitely, you know, gonna try and tag him up and light him up. And with that, he's either gonna have to get his balls off very fast, or he's gonna have to be very accurate. But it's definitely gonna be something where we're gonna have to try and get him on the ground.
Correct. But now, does what you're trying to get him on the ground? Understand this now. Does that become a killer to you? To all of a sudden you blitz and all of a sudden he hits the hots and they go into the house. How many times would you continue to stay in that coverage?
Well, again, you asked me what my first.
Second play.
And I'm backing it. I'm backing it being a negative.
Second play, boom. You blitz. Jake gets it off. Boom. Hits Urban in the scene. Possibly 40-yard gain. What do you stick with that defensive scheme that you had coming in?
And I disguise. I'll play zones. I'll play zone blitzes. Sometimes my ends will drop out. I'm going to give you different looks where, you know, you're going to have to wonder where it's coming from, especially if I got a small front.
But do you – hey, brother, my track coach comes up to the area.
Mr. Carney.
I'm trying to give a description of only thing I think about when every time I think about coach, I think about a lot of the state, you know, state meets and things of that nature. But we're gonna keep that off the air because that's just between us.
Horseman.
That's okay between us. We're live here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School here at the pregame show between the matchup between Matter Academy and St. Thomas Aquinas. Joining me today on the show is my main man, Wayne Blair, DC extraordinaire. The Phenom is joining me here on the 27th show. The show today is brought to you by Tilt the Kilt. You go to tilttokilt.com. That's Tilt the Kilt on the corner of Los Olas and Andrews Avenue here in Fort Lauderdale. But Wayne, as we watch this matchup and as we look at this, I'm looking at, you know, I mean, in number-wise now, Rocco might have bought some JV guys up because their numbers look a little bit more feasible to where you possibly do. Now, tell me this. Him knowing them, would you, in this situation, bring some of your JV guys up if your numbers were only 40?
Oh, yeah. You have to.
So you would bring some of your JV guys up to make this, you know, field look advantage.
Depending on you know, again, what our need would be during the playoffs, you know, if I had some injuries, I'd definitely have to restock. I'd bring up some guys that did well from the JV, possibly another running back. It's all about the depth at the same time, you know, kind of figure out where my needs would be.
Correct. Now, let's look at the, you know, your linebackers. The linebackers are not big guys. If they get locked, if the linemen lock on them, they got to make sure that they keep St. Thomas offensive line hands off.
They're definitely going to have to know how to get off blocks, working their hands. I was actually fortunate to be able to work with this past summer with one or two of those linebackers. I only got them one time, but you know, working with them, you know, different judo hand techniques, jiu-jitsu, basically moving the hands, getting off blocks, and always keeping your hands square down the middle of the guy. So I'm hoping some of that stuff basically, you know, comes in handy tonight.
We're going to go to commercial, but when we come back, I want to talk about what's possibly is going on in Rocco's mind right now as he entered this field. Because there are some things that changed for him from a year ago on how and where he stood on this field. Hold on, listeners, as I bring that back to you here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to go to a commercial break, and we're going to play Flex here on the Tony Sands Show. We're back here live at St. Thomas Aquinas High School pregame show of Matter Academy against St. Thomas. As I left my listeners before I explained to them what could possibly and been to enlighten them on what's possibly going through Rocco's mind as he walked out on the field. Because now a year ago, he would normally come out, and this field faces east and west. Mm-hmm. He would normally come out on the south side of this thing.
Yes.
But this game, he had to come out on the north side. People, the north side is for the away team. The south side is for the home team. That's what kind of feeling is that like? Because you had a chance to experience that too.
Yeah.
When you came back as a head coach, you had to go on that south side, that north side.
Coming in as a visitor, man. You're coming in as a visitor. It's a different landscape. It's a different type of walk. Definitely different atmosphere. You know, you're coming off that back end, that building. With him, I definitely think he's focused. I'm looking over here at their pregame routine. It's much similar as to, when he was here.
But like you say, it is a different atmosphere, though. It's a different atmosphere mm-hmm. for him, a different experience for him than he's never probably faced since he's left St. Thomas, because this was his first job was Matter Academy. It's an honor for him to be able to take his team there. Very rarely do a coach leaves one place, go to another place, and have the opportunity to come back at 12-1 to meet his old team.
Yeah.
I'm quite sure his guys are hyped up at Matter Academy, are hyped up enough for him, because they would love to try to pull this out.
It's definitely a rarity that, you know, somebody does have that situation happen. Yeah, you know, you're fresh off of a state championship, and now you're back again.
But that's
in the third round, but on the opposite
side. On the opposite side of the field. Not on this side, but on the opposite side of the field, and trying to get a win. In this mm-hmm. whole scheme of things, you're trying to get a win.
Shaking up the world.
Exactly. Exactly. You're trying to change what goes on out here. But do he truly, and I call this thing a Money Mayweather fight. It's built up for the hype, but we know exactly what's going to be the outcome when this game is over.
Hey, which card is it going to be? Is it going to be the Canelo Mayweather? Is it going to be the...
It was just this last fight. Him fighting
Pacquiao.
This is that Pacquiao type of fight to where they built the hype up just what it was. It was built up by the hype, but we understood when the smoke was going to clear who hand they was going to raise. And we can mm-hmm. still, and I say that right now because I think... And I give him credit, but I think he's a year away. He is a year away from what he really, truly want to accomplish. He's a year away.
If we go up and down that roster and check out the amount
of... He's young now. He's young. When you look at his roster, he is very young. His elite guys on offense all return next year.
Yeah. He's got a core nucleus of sophomores and
sophomores and juniors that are on his team,
on his squad. So, you know, you're saying a lot. These guys are, you know, young, and you know they've definitely they had a decent team last year. So, if any of those guys were, you know, freshmen or sophomores on that team, they even got more experience. So, you know, what's going to happen is these guys are going to learn. They're going to be learning.
They're going to learn. Then they're going to understand what it takes to play St. Thomas, because if the district doesn't change, and I was the mm-hmm. district normally change every 2 to 3 years. They don't change every year.
4 years.
They
now.
Change every 2 to 3 years. They don't change every year. So if they don't change, then they will see St. Thomas. They'll see St. Thomas again. Mm-hmm. They will have a clear matchup against St. Thomas again next year. And I think he will come more prepared next mm-hmm. year than he would this year. He would get a chance to see just what it takes in this whole scheme of things. But I think this much, like I said, is that Pacquiao-Mayweather fight. We understand that it is a heavyweight fight. It was built up to what it is, the hype behind it. I think the hype was more of the rematch of Rocco coming back to St. Thomas. Now, do you say Rocco is coming? I think if you would have been, I think if you, like, say yourself, or if a guy, you know, when Roger was away, if those guys came over, I think we would say it would be a return of Wayne returning home. Do you say that in Rocco's case, though? Can you say that in his case? Well, can you say that in his case that it's a case of him coming back home?
Well, Rocco didn't, you know, he did not graduate.
That's why I'm asking you that question. Here. Does just due to the fact that he coached here and then he did win some state championships do we classify him as one of us?
I'm going to say he's like that stepbrother.
He said, okay.
He's
all right.
The stepbrother.
But now, but if you call him a stepbrother, you still give him that justifiable thing to say that he could come home because you put the step on it.
You know
now,
what?
Now, if you would have called him a distant cousin, then you would have had some, then you would have had a possibility if you would have called him a distant cousin. But you called him a stepbrother, so you gave him that clarification.
He came up
to come
through
back
the
home.
Ranks, he married into the family, and that's how I'm going to go with that one.
But you still haven't answered the question. You get trying to give me the political answer.
That's not political right now.
I don't want the political. We want the straight and direct.
Do you want the Will Ferrell, you know, that stepbrother? You know what I'm saying?
But it's still, if you say step, that means rather his mom or his dad. And normally when you say step, people don't realize it's not the dad. It's the mom. If we have the same dad, we're considered true brothers. But if we have the same dad and a different mom, then that's when the step come in. But we in America have changed that dynamic, and we said we got the same mama and a different daddy.
How about play cousin?
All right, if you want to call it play cousin, we'll say the play cousin.
Hey, we all had that family friend that was a play cousin.
But I asked you one question. Can we say
If you a play cousin, that's a whole nother dimension.
So we can't say he's coming home.
You can't say he's coming home then.
Okay, so he isn't considered still, even though he won state championships, coach some of these guys 3 years, he's still don't get that respect to say that he's coming home. So it still boils down to that Mayweather fight that I described. Because if he was coming home, we'll say, okay, that would have built up the hype even more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's coming home, he's facing his team, and now here we go at this point, but he's not coming home. So the hype was more built up of him being that he coached here and he took him to the state championship. Now he's just coming back
in
the field.
And no disrespect, he's a play cousin. He grew up a little bit in this house. We all played together. We all shared the same toys. He's a play cousin.
And like I said, so that doesn't count for him as coming home. The show today is brought to you by Tilt the Kilt in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on the corner of Los Olas and Andrews Avenue. We are live here. You listen to my man, Wayne Blair, break down every aspect of this big heavyweight fight. But we know the outcome of this fight. When they go to 12 rounds, boom, 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 we know the outcome will be and who hands will get raised in this event. But like I said, no disrespect to Rocco. Rocco did what he had to do. He brought his team to this point.
Yes.
I think this matchup is a year away. I think it's a year away from what it truly is. I think next year he would have a better chance coming in here with a young team. Now he would have to find a new quarterback, though.
Correct.
His quarterback, he will be losing his quarterback, and that's key. As we find that out with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
They can't get on rhythm to save their life, and that is my team. I'm getting beat up, folks. When I see Romo, I gotta tell him, bro, you get me killed and within my own home. I'm looking like a fool in my own home.
It's possible the Cowboys might be having to look at draft or free agency, man.
Wow.
Hey, I'm just saying, you know.
It has gotten to that point to where, free agency or draft,
You got
to
find the next guy.
Yeah, we got to find another quarterback. Eventually, I think Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones understand that at this point, we got to go back and we got to find a quarterback in the mix that we could possibly have for the Dallas Cowboys.
Hey, right now, Romo's like fine china. Every time we bring him out, every now and then we get a chip on him.
But do we say that there a possibility that he came back too early?
Hey, you are correct. You could still serve that plate, Tony. You could still serve that now, fine china.
Right, but now the fine china had a crack, and we put the super glue on it, and all of a sudden we put that plate too heavy. Has the super glue mended itself back together to make it whole?
Hey, sometimes you got to give it a little bit more time to dry.
I understand
analogies.
I understand all that and all the dynamics on that. So that's why I'm saying to you, we're gonna go. If we go through this game, and we break it down, let's break it down by position and see who get the advantage and who don't. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the quarterback position. Rocco has a senior quarterback. A senior quarterback. Jake Allen is a junior quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
We have Eastern Kentucky that just walked in the building. We told you scouts are all over this place.
All over the place.
Because it is that time of the year, folks. We look at JT Harrington, who is Rocco's quarterback, who is a senior.
Mm-hmm.
6'2". What do you got him? They got him listed to 6'2", 193 pounds quarterback. So when we look at that, here we go. They got Jake Allen. Who do you give that advantage to? Who do you give the advantage to? who do you give the advantage to?
I'm going
to
say advantage Allen.
Advantage Allen? Okay, let's go to the running back position. They have a key running back that they Dizakar, and they have, who do you give the running back advantage to? Advantage St. Thomas? Advantage Matter Academy?
I'm sorry again. And I hate to seem like this might be some bias, but I'm gonna go with Thunder and Lightning.
So right now with those two positions, you give that advantage to St. Thomas.
Yes.
Okay, let's go at the receiver position. They do have a good amount of receivers that are young.
Mm-hmm.
They have Samora Stern, who is their top receiver on their team, who is 6'4", 205 mm-hmm. pounds. He's a big receiver too.
Basketball player. I know the kid. Yes. He's very athletic, but again, he's young. He's young and he's up and coming.
And then they have Matthew Bryan. Bryan, that's another big receiver that they have.
Mm-hmm. Definitely did not fail in the size department.
Devin Elam, another receiver. But then we look at St. Thomas, and we say St. Thomas has Irvin, Grimes, mm-hmm. and Thielman.
Mm-hmm.
Tall guys, who do you give the advantage to when we do this matchup?
Advantage Raiders.
Let's go corners. Let's go secondary.
Advantage Raiders.
Linebacker position.
Advantage Raiders.
So it brought me back to what you're saying, the advantage going to the Raiders. It brought me back to, like I said, I brought you all the way back to the fight. Reach. You saying the reach?
Advantage
goes to the Raiders.
Raiders.
Wait, going to the Raiders. Experience going to the Raiders. What's the possibility of St. Thomas not playing up and having a letdown?
Look, everybody got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. So, you never know. This is the game of football. I've seen the most craziest and wildest things happen. At the same time, it's like, who's going to be able to handle the adverse situations the
correct,
best?
Correct.
And that's what it's all going to come down to.
Now, tell me this, because we see it often to where all of a sudden you underestimate a team.
Right.
Like this.
Correct.
And all of a sudden, St. Thomas come out a little sluggish.
Flat.
And you allow a team like this to see that they could possibly beat you. Do St. Mm-hmm. Thomas got to come out early and fast?
They say sometimes you gotta beat a gnat with a sledgehammer. And in that case, I know exactly what Roger's saying inside the locker room, his pregame speech. He's going to talk about beating a gnat with a sledgehammer.
But now, beating a gnat, and like I said, so that means I'm now at the coin toss. You get the coin toss. What do you defer? Do you receive? Or
hey, Sans, I'm a different guy, man.
I know you're a defensive minded guy. What did you go with though?
I defer to the second half. I put my defense out there, and I tell my defense we gonna go out and go get some stops and create some opportunities.
So do you feel by I put my defense out, my defense make a statement, and that makes it stand up, and that makes them say, okay, here we go. We're going to give you that because we're going to show you that you can't beat us on the offensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You can't beat us on the offensive side of the ball. So if I put my defense out, they make a stop, then I come back, and all of a sudden now I go on offense and I pound it quick. Has that made a statement in this game that, hey, we're here?
Yes, it definitely does. It definitely does. I mean, you know you have that second half opportunity to have the ball back, and, you know, whatever may be going after the first half, you still got the ball back. You're giving your offense that opportunity once they come out after halftime.
Okay, so they come out at halftime, and they come out, coach is ready, and I'm going to tell you something. St. Thomas has some coaches, too, that are hype. They're considered hype guys. I know I'm a hype guy, and I love the hype that goes with it, but these guys are known for getting these guys up, ready to go, getting them pepped up, telling them, hey, this is what's got to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Do we see them, and when I heard a couple coaches getting rowdy, getting ready to go with this, do we see a lot of that in this game?
Yeah, you're definitely going to see that. It's almost like, you know, your first half is basically where you put in your work. Your second half, you're trying to put it into cruise control. I know I don't want to give too much for the following week for the next coach to prepare for me.
Because we know they are here. I'm quite sure they've sent some people down.
Somebody's going to send a representative.
Here to see what this possibility – because you got to scout both teams.
Correct.
You can't just come and scout St. Thomas. You say you want to scout St. Thomas as well as Matter Academy because you're going to play the honest game, but you're truly in this matter. If you had to come out and you was possibly one of the teams that would be facing them, what would you spend your manpower at? That's what I'm asking you. Which team would you spend more manpower?
I'd spend more manpower. Jeez.
It ain't
put
that
me in tough situations here.
It should be that difficult.
I got a friend on the other sideline, man.
I lean on you because you was a head coach, you a DC, so I'm leaning on you to give my listeners that preparation. I want you to put them in the mind of what a coach prepare for in a game like this. That's
right,
why we
right
ask
now,
that.
This is a David and Goliath matchup. And
okay, who do you spend your manpower on?
I'm spending my manpower on the Goliath. I'm spending my manpower on St. Thomas. I'm watching them. I'm taking notes of anything or any changes. Look at that. Got Cornelius Bennett in the house, man.
Yeah, I mean, but his son, Cornelius Bennett's son, plays here at St. Thomas Aquinas. Oh. Lord have mercy. I mean, you're going to have them coming over from all over. And like I said, this is going to, now I'm going to tell you something. You'll have possibly Michael Irvin here. As you can hear, the band is coming in behind us. The band has got a little pep to their step, more than what we had, because we only had about seven or eight of them with somebody with a teepee. But now the band has got a little bit more pep in the step, and they are coming through getting the guys ready to go for this matchup. But I don't think this is a matchup to where you got to tell these guys that, hey, listen, you got to be ready for this game. I don't see it being that type of a matchup. I think St. Thomas come out and fires on quick early. I think Roger understands. These guys understand that, hey, we got to come out with the running game. We got to come out. We got to hit them in the mouth. We got to play football ultimately to win this game. We're going to run to a quick commercial break. We're going to play Flo Rida. We're going to go to a 4-minute commercial break. We're coming back here on the Tony Sands Show live at St. Thomas Aquinas High School pregame show. Going to take you right up until game time. Game time kicks off at 7:30. We're going right up until game time. My main man, Wayne Blair, is here with me on the Tony Sands Show. We are the number one radio station here in South Florida that's putting out information. We're on site each and every week of a St. Thomas game, pregame. We're the only one that was here covering yesterday's practice. We do it. Show is practiced today by Tilt to Kilt and Fort Lauderdale, Los Angeles, and Andrews Avenue, where the boneless wings are. What's happening?
Get out there and get some.
Let's hit Florida. Boom. My house. This is my house, folks. My house. Be on the tour of Saints.
Open up the champagne. Pop. It's my house. Come on. Turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this. Sometimes you gotta stay in.
As he stated, this is my house. This is the house I played in. I put bricks here. You're on the Tony Sands show listening to me, and my main man is sitting next to me. Normally, I have him sitting on my right, but I got him on my left today. Tony Sands show live pregame show at St. Thomas Aquinas High School with the matchup of Mater Academy and St. Thomas. And as I asked my guy Wayne earlier, does this make Rocco get the respect that he's coming home? As he said, no.
I said play cousin, man.
You said play cousin. So if you say play cousin, then that means, guess what? You don't get that respect at all to say that you're coming home. The only thing you get to say that you're back in the building, to where, as Flo Rida say, the house that we built. I'm best being plain as it comes. That's why I call it. This is my house. I put some of the bricks on here.
Yeah, man.
I possibly in the inner city, hey, had guys coming into this place.
There used to be a tree right there, which
there's
was
no
donated
more
by the city for the first
grass
state
there
championship.
Beautiful grass there.
And I will say that I was a part of that squad.
That's that. Like I say, you look at this match. Now, St. Thomas is going to be down one receiver this week.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Bruce will not be playing in this game this week. He will not play this game. So, but I think in this matchup, you know, it's understandable that you can get past this matchup
without him,
without Sam until he's returned. Because I see this as being a matchup to where you're already bigger than him on the outside.
Yes.
And I'm quite sure. I want to see now, if you're pounding him so much, do you still work on your outside game as far as your receivers? Because it's going, when you get on that other side of this playoff matchup, the road tends to get tougher, and it has been Achilles' heel for St. Thomas a while back. It has been a tough thing for him. Do this come back to be a matchup to where it may hurt him if you don't work on that outside game?
They're definitely gonna have to work on the perimeter game to, you know, as I would say, lubricate WD-40 those guys up. And at the same time, you're keeping defensive coordinators down the road honest. You're keeping them honest. You're letting them know that, hey, it's just going to be much more than this running game that you're going to have to worry about.
Now, you know, like you said, this is the only game in Broward County.
Yes.
So you're going to see a lot of old coaches. You're going to see college coaches, as we stated.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see players from other teams. You're going to see all that here.
A lot of who's who. You're going to see a lot of who's who.
Cornelius Bennett, as you talked about earlier, walked in. You know, that was the great coach guy. Heck of a linebacker.
They got something coming up for the 30 for 30 about Buffalo Bills.
Oh, man.
So it'll be interesting, knowing that I know him and spoken to him and getting to see that show.
You're getting to see that, yeah.
A backside perspective.
You're getting to see that, a guy that you know, a 30 for 30 special that's being done. Mm-hmm. So you get a chance to see that. And all of a sudden, you know, this is a guy, like you say, you speak to on a daily basis. And all of a sudden now you see the 30 for 30. But then you're possibly going to have Asante Samuels coming in the building, because his son plays here. You could possibly have a Benny Sapp. Michael Irvin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you never know. A Warren Sapp. I mean,
yeah,
this
you
is,
never know who's going to show.
And, you know,
at the
this sideline is a who. This sideline reminds me, if you was in L.A. and you was at USC, you never know who would come on the sideline. When you look at USC, everybody and you know who will come to watch that matchup, because USC is just that. They are USC. That's Hollywood at its finest.
Mm-hmm.
You get no better than that. That is Hollywood at its finest. But now, and you can see the sideline is already getting crowded of guests and things of that nature. And one thing about St. Thomas, you better be somebody in order to be on that sideline.
Yeah,
you
know, man.
And that, when you got to walk through that gate, Fort Lauderdale Police, surely
Mr. Winger's right there at the gate waiting.
Making sure you are somebody
of some
significance to be able to get on that sideline. But let's get back to it. Like I say, Roger came a long way.
Yes.
To get to where he is now. Let's not
let
that go unknown. Roger, and he was a guy, I think, when St. Thomas looked at getting this matchup back and mm-hmm. after Rocco left, when they did their landscape and they did their research to see just who would they wanted to take over here, they looked at that. And when you look at it, they looked at that Roger possibly
Father Kelly.
was the guy to get it going and keep it going and have it to where it is right now. No better than it is. A guy that won state championship,
mm-hmm.
took a team from nothing, turned them into something, made them the perimeter program across the nation.
Small school national champion.
I mean, when he took over that program, it was mm-hmm. like, okay, could anyone have visioned where he took it to? It would have been impossible at that time. I had an opportunity to go in there and train him. You had an opportunity to go over there and coach with him for a short minute, short stint. So we understand. So he is a guy that understands what it takes to keep a program like this. And not only that, he is family.
Yes, class of 95.
He is family. So he's used to being around championships and know what it be. And then, like I say, he's I call that tree of George Smith. What I mean, that up under that tutelage of George Smith. So he is mm-hmm. under that tutelage. Whether you played for him or you coached up under him, that still puts you in that tutelage of his tree.
Correct.
And that tree goes endless. You go across the country.
It is full of roots, lots of roots.
Full of some of the best roots in what you call the game of football. As you see, St. Thomas is the number one high school for putting out professional athletes.
Yes.
And all that is a credit to a guy like Coach Smith, a long-standing guy. And I think that's what other programs don't have. They don't have that long-standing
that consistency.
Tradition and consistency to keep you going, good, to make it to where people want to stay with you. And that's what St. Thomas does. George Smith has been around this program for so long that he makes you want to stay and want to continue to be a Raider. I enjoyed my time here being a Raider. Wayne was a Raider. He enjoyed his time being a Raider.
I enjoyed it so much I came back.
That's what I'm saying. But then when you still look at it, when I went off to college, it prepared me for college more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It prepared me for that college echelon to understand the dynamics of college football.
Correct.
I could not have been better prepared for college football the way St. Thomas prepared me for it. Because, like I said, I didn't understand that there were teams that had eight-man football, never knew that.
Yep.
There was guys that never even played spring. Some teams, when you went off, met guys, they say they never lived on you.
Yeah.
But these are things it prepared me, because that was the things that at college that they expected out of you. They expected you to be able to perform at that college level. Some guys struggled with it, and that's why they fell behind.
They learn accountability either the hard way, or you already know exactly what is expected of you. And St. Thomas definitely not only prepared me, but prepared many, many, many young men.
Yeah.
Along the way. And that's why, you know, a lot of guys, you know, are coming through here, and you know, they're able to make that adjustment because, you know, you have everything in that sense.
I mean, when you say everything, you have everything it takes to hear. Just look at the weight room. When you and now with programs, everybody in the recruiting industry, you're hearing so much about the programs. The facilities. Mm-hmm. You hear about that. So now, imagine you're a parent, you come over here and you look at these facilities, you can look at the way this program, it's hard for you as a parent to see why you wouldn't want to send your kid here.
Yeah, it's definitely
a wild factor.
It's a wild factor. It's a battle.
It
you know.
Is just that. It is that over incident of wild factor that makes it say, wow, look at this setup. You look at this setup in the utmost. And that's why you come to a place like this in order to get all this. You get the publicity.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen guys go at other schools play, and all of a sudden they come over here and the stars shoot through the roof for them. They get 4 or 5 stars. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden they come over as a 2-star guy, and now they are a 3- and a 4-star guy.
Mm-hmm.
So now you get that. You're around the media. You get used to dealing with the media. Not only that, you'll get used to being around, as we talked earlier, about the stars and the who's a who may come on the sideline.
Correct.
You get used to that type of atmosphere here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. And you can't get it no better, nowhere else. I've seen a lot of games. The only place I've seen that happen is at USC. At USC, that's it. Other than that, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. You know, back in the heyday, you saw it at the University of Miami.
Correct. Correct.
But I haven't seen, even that has kind of dwindled away, even at the University of Miami.
Things have definitely changed. The landscape there is.
Yeah, the landscape has changed tremendously. Mm-hmm. When it comes to it. Tremendously have changed in the landscape of how this thing is being played out. But like I say, it goes back to the matchup of this game, Roger versus Rocco. Is it more Roger versus Rocco or St. Thomas versus Matter Academy?
It's definitely St. Thomas versus Matter Academy.
You think?
You know,
you think that's more of the headline? Do you think that's more of the headline? Do you think this headline is kind of more built up that Rocco's coming back?
Roger nor Rocco would never allow that to be that.
I understand that. They wouldn't allow it.
I know.
Understand that. I'm not saying that they wouldn't allow it. I'm saying that had the media built it up as a Rocco facing St. Thomas.
Of course the media's going to do that.
He's facing his alma mater. He's coming. I mean, well, not his alma mater. He's facing his old team. He's bringing his new team mm-hmm. to face his old team within a year's span. I think if this was 2 years out, I think it wouldn't have got as much fanfare.
It wouldn't mean that much. It wouldn't be that
Everybody
much.
Would be coming to say, they got it. They got it. St. Thomas got it. But now he's coming back a year out.
Correct.
A year out. That's
fresh. Tough. Hey, fresh out the gate.
Fresh off of taking Matter Academy last year. That was a 7-14. You take them to a 12-1 team.
Yeah, that's definitely a difference. It speaks volumes of his coaching. It speaks volume of his people skills, being able to, you know, go ahead and get into a new situation and hit the ground running, man.
I mean, and that he has. He's off and running. I hit the ground running. He didn't even hit the ground. He just started running. You know, like you said, you got the little baby in your hand. This baby got to go through phases before he start walking. He's got to crawl. He's got to get up, take 2 steps, fall back down, and he's got to catch his balance.
Mm-hmm.
Rocco jumped up from he jumped straight out the womb and started running.
He skipped some steps.
He started strictly running with this team, and that's a tribute to him. But like I say, Rocco did a great job. But my man Roger is.
He's a year removed from college football over there at FAU with Charlie Partridge. And,
correct.
You know, he did a wonderful job.
He did a heck of a job.
Recruiting.
He did a heck of a job. He wasn't even in there 3 months, and he was listed as the top recruiter for
the conference.
He was the top recruiter for the conference. So, I mean, when you look at that, that speaks volumes.
Yes.
That speaks volumes. You haven't been at the college level. This is really, you know, because he at one time he was going to take the Syracuse job.
Yes.
But he turned that down to come back. And then he took FAU for
FAU.
A year. Within 3 months, he was listed as the top recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
That spoke volume for him. And I'm quite sure when this job opened, St. Thomas, quite sure they looked at that. When you look at all the chances, like I said, I broke them down to you. A guy that built the program, a guy that won state championships.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that's tough on his guys, make sure that he get the best out of guys, make sure that they go to class and do what they got to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at all that, he's an alumni. So if you say you like UM, we want somebody that know the landscape here.
Correct.
And know the landscape of high school football, whether it be Broward or Dade.
You got to get something not too far removed and understands the landscape.
Understand to where the college guys are going to come in and respect his guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because we tend to not have that so much sometimes to where, you know, certain schools, recruiters don't respect that head coach enough to say, I can, you know, do anything to his guys. When St. Thomas guys go off, Wayne, college coaches are kind of leery on the way that they treat them.
Yes.
They make sure that they're treating them very well from the standpoint that if they don't, they possibly may not be able to come back on.
It's like going shopping. You know, you go to the grocery store and you get some bad produce, you might not go back to that store.
But that's what
again.
I'm saying. You might not be invited back for the simple fact that if you don't shop at the store and you don't get the right groceries, mom is not gonna send you back again to get groceries.
You got it.
You understand what I'm saying? So that's why I say what I'm saying is that this guy's gotta make sure when you come on this landscape and you recruit these guys that you make sure
you gotta do right by
you do right by their guys. Mm-hmm. You do right by his guys, because if you don't, there could be some serious problems that may arise for you. So we're back at this standpoint of this matchup being what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That Pacquiao Mayweather fight. We're back to that. That's what type of fight this is. This is a Pacquiao Mayweather type of fight that.
Yes, sir.
We understand the hype in this fight. We understand what Pacquiao Mayweather. We understand that. But the ultimate outcome, we know what the ultimate outcome is going to be.
One guy's going to be raising his hand.
The ultimate outcome is that St. Thomas is going to do what they do. They're going to come in here. They're bigger up front than Matter Academy. Matter is smaller. So as you stated, they got to rely on a lot of stunts.
Mm-hmm.
They got to rely on those stunts, because if they don't rely on the stunts, they can get beat pretty good.
Correct.
And me coming out, and I'm a runner. I played the position of running back. So I like to go out. You would think I would want to run, but I'm going to come out passing. I'm going to tell you.
You're going to change it up?
Yeah. I'm not going to, because they're going to expect me to do that. They're going to expect me to come out running, but I'm not going to come out running. I'm going to come out straight gunslinging.
So you going to pull a David Klingler. You going to come out like
Houston. I'm coming out straight gunslinging.
Throw
I'm coming
it.
Out.
40 times.
Roger, I was Roger. I'm coming out throwing the ball all over the place. Period. No ifs, ands, buts about it. I want to be able to throw it.
You're going to do it to him.
Yeah, yeah. I want to test them. I want to test their corners, because I know I can beat them inside. I know I can beat them inside. I want to test them outside. I don't want to test them no other way but outside. If I test them outside and they got enough outside, that helps me in this matchup, because I know I'm going to beat them in the middle. I'm going to beat them all day with that.
Again, David and Goliath, man.
You calling it a David and Goliath. Because seeing the David and the Goliath story, I know.
Yeah, but
Goliath don't win.
Exactly.
No. But you're calling it a David and Goliath. I wouldn't call it a David and Goliath, because in the story I know of David and Goliath, Goliath don't fare well. He got hit in the head with a rock by a slingshot by a small guy.
You're right. You are
so
right.
You're saying what you said. Matter Academy is going to wind the rope up, hit Goliath in the head. He's done. That's it. That's why I call it a Pacquiao Mayweather fight.
I'm going to say that's going to have to be one heck of a stone.
I call it a Pacquiao Mayweather fight all day, because we understand the hype, the build up in it, but we know what the outcome. You call it a David and Goliath. I can't call it a David and Goliath. I just can't.
I was about to say something, but I had to caption myself. The haves and the have nots.
David and Goliath, you called it. How? Where? When? What? How can you call it that?
That's the closest correlation. I'm just going to say that the stone is not going to work.
So you're saying when David throw the stone this time, it's going to miss. So you're changing the way the story was written.
Yes.
Wow. You're changing the way that story is clearly written. I don't see how.
Yes.
Guys, we're up close to game time. Game time is in 8 minutes. We're live here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School with the matchup of Matter Academy and St. Thomas. Wayne called it a David and Goliath. I call it a Pacquiao Mayweather fight. That's what I call it, Pacquiao Mayweather. It's built up with the hype, but you know what the outcome is going to be.
Yes.
You call it David and Goliath in the story I know.
Hey, of David I changed and Goliath. The story, though. I changed the
you
story.
Okay, yeah. All right. You changed the story of how the story was written. That's cool. But like I say, I'm seeing this. Give me your prediction on the score.
I'm going to go with 35 to 6.
35 to 6.
Yes.
35-6.
35-6.
I don't think they score at all.
35-6.
I don't think they score at all, though. When I look at that whole matchup, I don't think they score at all. At all.
Two field goals.
I don't think they score at all, though. Knowing what we know, knowing I know Roger, I don't see him scoring.
35-6, Sands.
Two field goals, you're saying?
Two field goals.
Okay, I'm gonna let him score. All right, I'm gonna let him score. I'm gonna say.
Wait. You say that's not letting you score now. That's a field goal is like
no.
Earned.
But I'm gonna let him.
You got.
I'm gonna let him score.
Cross the 50.
No, I'm gonna let him score. I'm gonna give him 10. I'm gonna give him 10 points, because I think the 10 points is gonna come more toward the fourth quarter when he's starting to put in a lot of the younger guys.
Other guys getting in.
I don't
experience.
See these guys. I look at Thunder and Lightning not playing past the second quarter.
Wow.
Thunder and Lightning is not playing past the second quarter.
Wow. That is heartfelt right there. I'm truly thrilled by that one, though. I still feel 35-6, Sam.
No.
I don't think they get into the end zone.
A clear matchup. A clear matchup. I say 40 to 10.
So you're saying a touchdown and a field goal.
I go 40 to 10.
A touchdown and a field goal.
40 to 10, clearly is what I call it. 40 to 10 matchup. That's the score I'm predicting, 40 to 10, because I think they scored a 10 in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes left to go in the game. They scored their 10.
So somehow they're going to wind up in the end zone.
Correct.
In the fourth quarter with the last couple of minutes left.
Of course, with the young guys, get them over here. Come on, I got it. Cut it out, boy. Sit down. Right
well, now. I look at it differently again, man. I look at it differently again. I don't quite see that happening. I don't. I don't see them seeing the end zone.
I clearly see it. I clearly see the score being what it is. Like I said, I'm going 4-10. I'm going to give them 10 points. I'm gonna give him 10 points.
That's a scratch 10 right there, man.
I'm giving 40. I'm gonna give him 40 to 10.
I think you're throwing that fishing line out there, and you're hoping that they could catch that grouper. But I don't see 40, that happening.
40.
Man.
I clearly see it 40 to 10. Whew. 40 to 10. I clearly see it.
Tall order for 10 right there.
40 to 10. You can't get it no bigger than that. 40 to 10.
Hey, I work with some of them backups now. Some of them backups can be at a majority of a lot of different schools playing for real. Like, you know, backup here is considerable.
Yes, a great deal. a great, when I say a great deal, a great, great deal of points. That's against the third, possibly fourth string guys that you're going to put in. Some of the JV guys that they bought up.
Sam, I'm going to say it might be running clock, bro.
Well, man, of course it's going to be a running clock.
It might be running clock. Mr. Bosa.
A running clock at some point, that is going to be. It's going to be a running clock. I'm not clearly saying that, but I still say I'm going to give them 10.
10? How you going to get that 10 in if it's a running clock?
But you're gonna
unless of course you kick a field goal.
Just hear me out now. Listen to what I'm saying. The running clock. But Roger is gonna if given an opportunity at that point, I think he pulled the dogs off. I don't think he wanna.
Hey. That, you did know, you not catch message. My message? What I said at the beginning part of the show.
That's
beating a gnat with a sledgehammer.
But I listen. You're gonna get out early, and they're gonna
nowhere. Hey, nowhere gonna, in there did I state gonna, mercy.
I don't think he's gonna want to do that. I just don't.
We call it the mercy rule, though.
Right. If you're playing PlayStation, it's what, 21?
21. 21. 21 sit you.
21, you're done. You give up the joystick.
That's right.
But now, here we go in this matchup, closing in at the bottom of the show. We're going to break it up. Matchup, St. Thomas. I'm going 40-10. You says?
35-6.
35-6. He says two field goals. I don't see it, but it is what it is.
two field goals. It's gonna happen very, very late.
You got
and
my
I mean
prediction.
Late.
You got his prediction. The score is what it is. It is coming out to be what is coming out to be. This game here is a matchup. Like I said, Mayweather, Pacquiao. You know what the outcome is going to be. You can't call it any more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Than what it is. Mayweather, Pacquiao. It is what it is. This game is going down to the wire, and it's going to be at the wire. So, hey, we're gonna wrap up here. Pre-game show, so that way me and you both can get on the sideline. You got to push the three-wheel buggy.
Hey, I'm doing three-wheel motion, man.
He is. His. Like I told you, you got one of them fancy gadgets. You got a fancy thing. Your thing made a the normal baby carriage is made out of plastic. This thing here got metal on. I mean, that's a quality.
Hey, I was thinking about getting the rims, but I had to trade it in.
And this kind of, you got a tube. You got an inner tube in your.
We stayed stock, man. We stayed stock.
This man, that goes to show you. He's a first-time dad. You know, first-time dadders and first-time moms, you know, they tend to kind of go a little bit and get the best of the best. And then by the time that second and third one coming along,
it's all handovers.
You start bargaining, hoping that you can still keep what you have. We're on the Tony Sands show today, brought to you by Tilt the Kilt. In Fort Lauderdale on the corner of Los Olds and Andrews Avenue. On the corner of Los Olds and Andrews Avenue. We're there every Monday night at the Tilt the Kilt. The show is brought to you live on Tilt the Kilt is giving it. Go get the wings, because the wings are my best. Every time I get in there, I order number straight wings, because that's what it is. I love them. The boneless wings with a sweet tea and some fries. And, buddy, I'm in seven heaven.
I love all the appetizers.
I am in seven heaven when it comes to the quality. Oh man, even the people there, class act. The waitress, make sure that you are well taken care of.
Hey, top notch service on time.
My main man Joe is there making sure that his people treat everybody that come in and out of that building with class, first class at that. So get your chance, join us every Monday night at Tilt the Kilt in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on the corner of Los Olds and Andrews Avenue. That's tiltthekilt.com. Tiltthekilt.com here on the Tony Sands Show live at St. Thomas Aquinas pregame show. As we kick it off, we're closing out. We're going to close out with my main man, Flo Rida, in my house, and we'll be back Monday at Tilt the Kilt. Go to tiltthekilt.com and check out the menu of what's
Hey, thank you
involved.
For having me on, Sam, man.
Hey, bro,
I appreciate
it was
brother.
My pleasure. My pleasure to be with you, bro. It's my pleasure to join you in action, bro. It's my pleasure to join you in action. So it is a pleasure to have you on the show. Listen, you gave us your outcome of how this game I gave you mine. I gave you the comparison. I gave you what it is. You said 35-6. I say 40-10. We're going to see who are closer. The band, now the game is getting ready to get kicked off.
It's about to be a fight.
We're closing out here so we can go, to the sideline and enjoy this matchup live from St. Thomas. See ya.